You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked, to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yo, the Bet Slippin' Podcast presented by SportsbookWire.com is back. It's Thursday morning, May 27th, and on the agenda today is playoff talk. We're going to touch on both the NBA playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs, try and provide some actionable insight. Of course, I'm joined by my handicap and hype man, gambling consigliere, the sharper half of this podcast, my colleague, Eston McLaren. Eston, what's up, brother?
Hey, Jeff. Nailed it. Playoff time, we're deep into it. NHL round one wrapping up. NBA playoffs, full swing. Well, yeah, full swing early in round one. Everyone still has a chance, I suppose. We're going to probably rule out a couple teams right off the bat in this episode. But, you know, right now they think they have a chance anyway.
Right. Everyone not named the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards certainly have a chance.
And boy, do those two not have a chance.
No.
Come on.
And, you know, as I'm sure you guys are feeling, you listeners at home, this is what the greatness of sports gambling is, because these series would not matter if we weren't betting against the spread here. But either way, it's NBA playoffs. It's the culmination of the season, obviously. I've been deep in the NBA coverage and breaking down games every single day on our website, sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. Eston's also covering the NBA playoffs. He's a little more intertwined, I guess, with the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, so he'll definitely be the headliner of that segment. But without any further ado, no more messing around, sports gamblers. Let's get gambling. So the NBA playoffs are two games through on every single series. They're heading to the lower seeded or the worser team's home court for games three. A narrative or an angle that I've heard on a lot of sports betting websites or sports betting podcasts and radio shows is to bet the first half and first quarter on teams that are down 0-2 headed back home in game three. I guess that's done really well for bettors in recent years. Not sure how much of that stuff I'll actually be playing. In our first series here, the Bucks up two games to none on the Miami Heat, headed to Miami for game three. Definitely not going to play Miami to win that one. I don't even like them the first quarter or the first half, to be honest. But do you have any takeaways from what you've seen in the first two games of the Bucks Heat series?
Certainly nothing that would make me want to take the Heat. It's Bucks or bust for me. Question is if they do it in four games or anymore. I think I'm on in four games. BetMGM actually favors this series to go to five games slightly. The Bucks are plus 190 to win 4-1, plus 200 for the sweep. You know, anything that's remotely close to a Heat win in this series is plus 1100 or better. So yeah, I very little interest in the Heat.
Right. I don't, I mostly feel you. Milwaukee's just on a rampage, right? They're out for vengeance, out for justice on their embarrassing exit last year in the bubble at the hands of the Miami Heat. Through two games, I mean, they're just bigger, right? They're more athletic. They're more buttoned up this year, which was the big issue last year. You know, the continuity, I think, is what really drove the Miami Heat to representing the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. But yeah, they're a lot bigger. They have a crazy 35.3% offensive rebounding rate through two games of the series. Just to kind of put that in perspective, the New Orleans Pelicans led the regular season offensive rebounding rate at 30.2%. So Milwaukee's just owning the glass between Brook Lopez, who's a legit 7-footer, Giannis, who's close to a 7-footer, yet plays obviously inside and outside. Bobby Portis is pretty big for them off the bench, and they just have more size, and they're imposing their will on Miami. Miami, I thought it was a stupid trade to get rid of Kelly Olynyk. Probably not the first name I should bring up when talking about the Miami Heat, but they took a flyer on Victor Oladipo, and that was an absolutely terrible trade deadline move. I also think the not extending or not keeping Jay Crowder hurt them, a little bit of their floor spacing, and that's another reason why they're probably going to be a short exit in this first round. Miami's 19th in three-point percentage this season. They were second last season. We know Milwaukee is willing to give up three-point attempts to try to filter or funnel their opponent's three-point attempts to lesser shooting players or the worser shooting players of their opponents, but Miami was able to feast on that because they didn't have any weak spots, really. They have a whole bunch of weak spots. The only way I look to play this series, it's a lean. Am I going to the window with it? Perhaps. I don't know. We'll see how I feel when we get to the window. But I lean Milwaukee to win Game 3 and to win the series at minus 125. I wouldn't rule out the idea of a gentleman's sweep where Milwaukee takes Game 3, Miami steals Game 4. But I don't believe that either way. I think Milwaukee's going to win this game. I bet them -1.5 already, in tonight's, Thursday night game 3 Bucks Heat. And I'll take them, to win game 3 and win the series ultimately -125. Want to go on to the next series or do you have any final thoughts about this one?
No, I think we're good enough on these jabronis.
All right, Suns-Lakers. Suns with a 2-seed. Lakers 7-seed as the defending NBA champions. They're tied after 2 games, headed back to L.A. playing the Staples Center. I'm as invested as I'm going to be in this series. I took the Lakers at -150 before the season started. Actually, I talked a homie into taking the Suns at +125, and I booked it. So I essentially got the Lakers, the defending champions, at -130 in the first round. I don't know. I feel like I just stole money, honestly. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, crazier things have happened. Perhaps. I mean, LeBron is 14-0 in the first round in his career. So in basketball terms, I don't think anything crazier really has happened. You know, Chris Paul is obviously banged up with the shoulder. DeAndre Ayton played the best game of his professional career, and they stole game one because of which. Anthony Davis is locked in at this point. And, I mean, why do we have to spend any unnecessary time on this? It's LeBron James in the first round. The Suns are missing their leader. Or, excuse me, the leader is compromised with injury issues.
Right, absolutely. The Suns were going to be the bet for game one all along. We talked about in our pre-playoff show about the Lakers' lack of cohesiveness through the regular season, how the start of this series was kind of going to be the first time having all the big names back on the court together for the first time in a while. Yeah, worked out for the Suns. They got that game one win. Now, especially with Paul not at 100%, you know, even if he's questionable to play tonight or whenever, I'm not giving the Suns much of a chance here. This is now the Lakers team that we saw win the championship last year. So it's Lakers, and I don't think it's going to last much longer.
Yeah, I mean, I guess serious prices are no bets for me. Lakers -350 at this point. Suns +260. I'm looking at the other series markets here, but, you know, Devin Booker is still an all-star who can put up some crazy numbers. DeAndre Ayton's a former number one overall pick, and, you know, I wouldn't be – it wouldn't be shocking to see Chris Paul kind of get it together and steal a game with the Sixers or with the Suns, excuse me. So that's kind of my excuse for not betting the Lakers -2.5 games at a nice +260 price point. Again, I already have -150 or -130 for the series, so I'm not going to take the Lakers -1.5 games. I'm standing pat with my bet right now and hoping it cashes here and sometime next week. Next series, this one, I have so much money on Denver that I'm pretty much a Nuggets fan at this point, but the Nuggets Blazers are tied 1-1 going to Portland. I got it at 3 prices. This and the previous series just talked about, Suns and Lakers, were included in my lengthy series bets piece that I published to sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. I don't know if you got a chance to read that, Esten. It was at like a War and Peace length. I did like 1,500 words in three different series, one of them which was the Lakers -150 and then the Nuggets. I forget what the preseason price was on BetMGM. I got it pre-series at +115. I took the Nuggets when they were down 0-1 at +245, and then I took the Nuggets again yesterday, tied at +150, heading back to Portland. Do you have any thoughts about this series? Have you handicapped it, played any of the games or anything?
I haven't played anything yet. It's kind of in a stand pat, wait and see kind of scenario on the Nuggets. Just, you know, the Jamal Murray injury matters so much in this series in particular. But yeah, I like him. I don't hate your strategy. It sounds very similar to your strategy from last year with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Apparently, you didn't learn many lessons there and keep doubling down, but I appreciate that commitment. So good for you.
How dare you? I won money in that series.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I lost the series bet, but I kept betting the points, and then I doubled up in game 7 +4 to hammer that series in. And get a net profit. I did lose a series bet, granted, but I'm not going to let that subtle shot just go past. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. But no, yeah, I think you're right. And I think the longer this goes, probably the better it is for the Nuggets. So yeah, I don't know. Are you scared of Portland game 1 or game 3 back at home, their first home game?
No, not really. As a matter of fact, if the Nuggets go down 1-2, I'm going to buy more Nuggets. Actually, I'm pretty happy with what I've seen out of the Nuggets, especially Nikola Jokic. I mean, he's improved his points per game and his numbers from the regular season to the postseason. Granted, it's a two-game sample size, but, you know, this is a narrative that I've talked about with friends, maybe with you. I don't think I've talked about it on Bet Slip and Podcast yet, but every single NBA champion this century, since the turn of the millennium, besides, I think it was the 2012 Heat. Every single NBA champion, their leader in points per game in the regular season improved in the postseason. Jokic is averaging 36 points per game through two games. But you kind of nailed it. This series is. The only other matchup I'd be more concerned with would be the Los Angeles Lakers, obviously, because of the defending champions. They eliminated the Nuggets last season. But, like, Dame Lillard just has the ability to average, seriously, 45-50 and carry this team. And he's gone off in the first two games. I'm not afraid of the Trailblazers. I'm afraid of specifically Damian Lillard. Specifically him is who I'm afraid of. And, but the Nuggets won game.
You're not scared of Norman Powell, then?
No, I'm not scared of Norman Powell. I think the Nuggets are going to get back Will Barton in this series. But, the Blazers won game 1 despite being out-rebounded and outshot. I'm literally betting that's unsustainable, right? You know, like they just hit more threes. They got to the foul line more. The next game, the Nuggets made the adjustment, got a little bit of home cooking, of course, but were more aggressive at attacking the rim and getting to the foul line. They outshot the Blazers in free throws in the second game. And, you know, the Nuggets got plus money all the whole way through, and I'm going to keep hammering it. The last MVP to lose in the first round was Russell Westbrook in 2017. And believe me when I tell you this, listeners, there is probably no bigger Russell Westbrook. Well, there's few bigger Russell Westbrook fans on the internet than me. I am pretty much a Russell Westbrook apologist. I will defend that MVP title tooth and nail, but he's not the same MVP as Nikola Jokic. He's not. And, you know, despite leading the league in assists and points, I would argue he wasn't more dominant this year or that year than Nikola Jokic this year. And just to give you a comp here on I got the Nuggets to win the West. I'm not obviously thrilled with it knowing Jamal Murray isn't there, but the comp that I'm going to give you is Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki won the MVP, I believe it was 2008, and then he went on that crazy 2011 title run where he just balled out, right? Nikola Jokic, when you compare their MVP years, is better across the board. Better in PER, better in win shares per 48 minutes, better in points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, effective field goal shooting, true shooting percentage. Everyone remembers that crazy title game, title run for the Mavs and Dirk Nowitzki in 2011, right? Jokic, it's only two games through, right? He's going nuts. He averages 36-12, and granted, the Dirk sample size is 21 games, but Jokic, if they get eliminated in this series, his numbers aren't dipping below Dirk Nowitzki's. It's going to take an absolute monumental effort for Damian Lillard. So I'm betting that the Nuggets move on and advance past Portland. And I can't wait for the series against the Lakers should they get to that point. But spoiler, Nuggets to win this series is definitely coming to the window with me. Any closing thoughts on this one?
Yeah, when I asked your game three thoughts, same as me, like the best fan or the best friend of a sports bettor in the playoffs is the higher seeded team going down 1-2, right? Because then we get probably the best price we're going to get in the entire series when they're still the better team. You know, if they drop that one game to a hyped up team on their home court, it's the best thing we can ask for. The price goes up, and yeah, I'm on the Nuggets. It's just such a weird series. Like, I can't remember a matchup, first round or what have you, where it's just such a lopsided dynamic where one team's here because the front court is so good and the other team's here because the back court is so good. And, you know, for the Portland, their front court is weaker than the Nuggets back court, even without Murray. So yeah, I'm the Nuggets here.
Yeah. And this is just where I differ from the market. And I think just sharps that I listen to, quote unquote sharps that I listen to on the radio, certain radio shows or podcasts, where I think they're applying March Madness logic to the NBA playoffs. And they're like, hey, backcourt is key. You know, I'm going to give the edge to Portland because of the backcourt. Nah, in professional basketball, I think the better team is the team with the size. We saw with the Lakers last year. They invested in size with Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis. They had JaVale McGee. You know, the big team that kind of went counter to how the league was trending. You know, the Nuggets are huge. You know, the Jokic, you got Millsap, you got McGee again off the bench. Aaron Gordon, the trade deadline pickup, is an awesome defender to throw at wings. And he actually, they put him on Damian Lillard, and he made Damian Lillard work. And if Dame Lillard, and to an extent CJ McCollum, and obviously a much lesser extent Norman Powell, if they're going to hit contested 25-footers, okay. All right. Okay, you win. But, you know, the track record, not trying to go to Charles Barkley, the track record is jump shooting teams don't win. That is the NBA playoffs. That's the NBA. That's the NBA historically speaking. So, yeah, I'm more than happy with my Nuggets tickets. Another series that I bet on, again, I put in my little NBA first round series betting opus or epic, whatever. I have the Knicks over the Hawks. I got them at +105 on my book. I'm failing to remember what it was in BetMGM. It's tied 1-1 going back to the A, as Trae Young would say. Last night, the Knicks won an exhilarating game in Madison Square Garden to even the series. It's an awesome series. I'm invested as I'm going to be in this one. I'm a fan, so I'm not that crazy about my Knicks pick, but I objectively broke down my rationale, and I'm perfectly okay with the Knicks still at this point because their best player, who's crushed the Atlanta Hawks in the regular season, Julius Randle, has played dog shit basketball for the past two games, and we could have won game one had Lou Williams not taken over that game in quarter three. You know, a few things break differently. We could have won. I mean, Trae Young pretty much hit a walk-off, right? I mean, what was it, 0.7 seconds left or something like that where he hit the game-winning shot? So game one could have went either way. Game two could have went either way, though. So the lines, the prices are appropriate. I'm not going to put any more into this. I hear a lot of sharps, and you're sharp. A lot of sharps like the Hawks. I went counter to the sharp market. Do you have a pick either way here?
I'm on the Hawks in game five, but I'm on the Knicks to win the series. Probably
game three.
4-2. That's plus 450. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
What did I say?
You said game five. Gotcha.
Yeah, the Hawks to win. Okay, sorry. The Hawks to win Friday, and then the Knicks to come back and win the series, probably in six games at plus 450. I think the Hawks are just going to be too amped up to lose Friday. Trae Young, Lou Williams especially, and that home crowd in Atlanta. But then the Knicks, you mentioned, you nailed it, my point, in backing the Knicks to them in the series. Julius Randle has been awful so far, and they've won a game and lost a game by 2 points. So if he can play even 80, 90% of how he played in the regular season, he's the best player in this series, and they can come back from a 1-2 deficit, no problem.
All righty. One of those situations that we were talking about in the beginning of this segment where it's been typically profitable to back teams that are down 0-2 heading home for game three in the first half in the first quarter is a situation we're looking at when the Nets go to Boston with their 2-0 lead over the Celtics. There's not going to be a lot of here for me to handicap. I don't think there's a lot here in the series other than the obvious. There's no market in the series worth sprinkling on. For instance, the Nets to win 4-0 to sweep is minus 150. I don't know, whatever. They have too many defensive lapses where I could just see them giving away a game four. I don't have any further logic or rationale behind that other than what I just said. It's just like, well, maybe Tatum, puts on the K for one game, goes for 45-50, they steal one. Marcus Smart gets in James Harden's chest a little bit, and they, have a little pride and don't do the gentleman sweep thing. But there's not a price point that I'm looking at that I like here in this series.
No, absolutely not. The only fear would be Brooklyn starting to celebrate halfway through game four. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, Boston comes back and steals one and then gets blown out in game five. So no interest here. Game three, -7.5 Brooklyn. Sure. There's nothing to like about these Celtics. I don't care. Moves they made at the trade deadline haven't changed anything from how they played in the first 2/3 of the season, and just a mess in Boston. And I have no interest in plus 7.5. If there's a chance of Brooklyn caring about winning game three, it's going to be a double digit blow once again.
Okay. And our odds provider here for the most part, and our sponsor BetMGM, who we love, definitely look for them to, or look at their website and sports betting app for some prices. But also I encourage you to shop around to see for other markets that other offshores or regulated books are offering. Because I'm going to play actually a 3-team teaser in the NBA playoffs. I'm going to take the Bucks from -2 to +5 in game three. I'm going to take the Lakers down from -7 down to a pick'em, and I'm going to take the Nets down from -7.5 down to -0.5. So I think that's a -120 payout. So I'll put a unit on that. If you can find that in any of your books, go ahead and follow me on that one. I think that's going to be a winner. But the next series we're looking at, Mavericks looking to sweep the Clippers. Well, I mean, they're up 2-0, headed back to the Big D to play their two home games. I lean to the Clippers, +1.5 series spread at +130. There's just too much talent, frankly, just too much at stake for this team for them to get completely punked like this. If they get swept, if they lose in the first round, I'm going to be shopping Kawhi Leonard's next team prices. Absolutely. I'm going to be looking at the Golden State Warriors. I'm going to be looking at the New York Knicks. I'm going to be looking at the Los Angeles Lakers. The Knicks got a ton of cap space. They'll re-up Julius Randle probably. Kawhi Leonard, he at least likes the big market of L.A. I don't know if it's just the sand. It probably is. He's from out here, but maybe he's into the Knicks thing. I don't know how you can't be into the Knicks thing, at least a little bit, watching the excitement on social media over the Knicks winning and just being in the playoffs. Also, I could see the Warriors moving off of Andrew Wiggins in some sort of sign-in trade, and as we see, stars dictate that where this league goes, and I could very well see Kawhi Leonard forcing himself to the Warriors. But in this series particularly. The Mavs are just, I think their shooting's unsustainable. You got Luka, who's just absolutely fantastic. He's going to get his buckets. Hit step back, one-legged threes, 30 feet over, 30 feet away from the basket over Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and similar thinking of Dame, where it's like, hey, if that's how we're going to go down, whatever. But the Dorian Finney-Smiths, the Tim Hardaway Juniors, the Maxi Kleber's, their shooting is going to regress, you would think. But then again, they're going home. You know, I do like the plus money at the plus 1.5 Clippers series price. My handicap doesn't go much further than this, other than like, it's Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. You're going to get punked like that? You can't get the 6 games? Or would it be? Yeah, well, I guess it'd be 7. I think it'll go at least 6. I think it'll probably go 7. I want to bet the Clippers to win. I just can't pull the trigger. But I lean plus 1.5 series spread. How about you?
Yeah, that's not a bad take. I do like this Mavs team. I don't know. It's tough to not get caught up in this hype, I guess. One interesting thing with these lines, though, so we got the Clippers down 0-2, favored game 3 in Dallas. Then the series line, Dallas is minus 250 favorite. And then for the exact series outcome, 4-3 LA has the lowest odds. Is that just BetMGM heading to you? Like, what do you make of those three prices and how they clearly contradict each other?
Well, all right, maybe help me out here. What is your takeaway? What is your read from this?
Yeah, like my guess is that it's just the public price for game 3. I think the sharpest of these three prices is the Dallas series line.
Gotcha. Okay, so
and then the
Dallas minus 250.
The public, yeah, and then the public support is still making Clippers favored for game 3, and then the 4-3 exact outcome is kind of BetMGM's hedge, I guess.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I mean, I am a little shook by Luka Doncic. He's you know, he's probably the best player in the playoffs through the first 2 games of, you know, each series. But again, I just go back to, like, they're shooting 65%. They have a 65% effective field goal shooting. And honestly, despite them going from LA to Dallas and role players are expected to regress or play worse on the road, I don't know if that's possible for the Clippers. I don't know if their role players could play any worse. I just can't believe it. And I don't know if the Mavericks role players could play any better. You know, the Mavericks are playing about the best basketball they can, and the Clippers are playing, outside of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, obviously the most, just the worst basketball they can. So I don't know, like, I feel like the sharp move is, you know, where I'm leaning. Obviously, you know, I'm biased because it's my own logic, but I don't know. It would just be so stunning for the Mavericks to, and I can't think of any other word other than punk the Clippers this badly. So it's a lean, candidly speaking. I'm not going to go to the window with it, but unless you have any final thoughts about this series, so we can breeze through Philly and Washington, I'm assuming.
Yeah, lots to discuss here of Washington's chances.
Yeah, Philly's up 2-0, heading back to the nation's capital for 2 games. There's no value. Nothing the Wizards can do with Embiid, in my opinion. Beal trolling him just riled Embiid up. 76ers are deep at on-ball perimeter defenders. They could just throw waves of defenders at Beal. You got Ben Simmons. You got Thibault, I can't pronounce his name, Danny Green. So they're in trouble. Wizards need Westbrook to dominate, and Ben Simmons is the absolute perfect defensive point guard to put on Russell Westbrook. This shit, it's over. It's over. I like, again, huge Russell Westbrook guy. Love Washington. It's over. It's over. Right?
Right. Bradley Beal, what are you thinking? Like, the NBA's second leading scorer. Sure. Good. Congrats. You had a good season. You should just be happy to be in the playoffs, bud. Like, you've done nothing your entire career other than score and put up points. No success whatsoever. Like, Russell Westbrook got you guys to the playoffs, finally. Just enjoy it. You don't need to go taunting Joel Embiid, who's clearly the better player, clearly the best player in this series. It's just, he blew it. What, Russell Westbrook should be pissed.
I think it's just to shoot. I hear your point. Just to shoot Bale a little bail. They were going to get massacred anyways, and this was going to go work in one or two ways. Maybe, probably not. You get in Embiid's head, you frustrate him, you get him off his game, or you pump your team up. It looks like it's going to be it's going to be the next two games are going to be double-digit blowouts, and it's going to be, hey, you pissed me off, bro. But, hey, they were getting it handed to him either way. It didn't matter, you know, so whatever.
Yep.
Last series to talk about. I don't have much on this one, but Jazz even the series last night with the Grizzlies 1-1. Before going back to Memphis, my lean is Grizzlies +1.5 in the series spread at +145. Because if I was drafting from all the players in the series, this might be a hot take. It probably is. John Morant's my number one pick. He's going anywhere he wants on the court with the Jazz, against the Jazz, anywhere. Anywhere. Mike Conley is an above average defensive point guard. He is wearing this fool out. And it's incredible. This guy, he's crossing Conley up and then dunking on the Jazz front court. Like almost like video game shit. Like he's balling out. It's nuts. I wrote about this in my game one handicap. I'll take Jonas Valanciunas' offense over Rudy Gobert's defense. So even further supporting my lean of Grizzlies +1.5. But candidly speaking, or to be honest, I guess, the three-point shooting I saw Wednesday night from the Jazz just shook me to my core. I haven't been a believer in Utah all season. Still not a believer in them, their chances to win the finals or even make it to the finals. But I can't really sprinkle on Memphis to win the series because Utah's ball movement, half-court sets. They got three fast break points last game, and they scored close to 140. Oh my God. That is surgical. That is surgical. Holy shit. So I lean Grizzlies. Maybe I'll take it to the window. I don't know. I'll talk to myself during our next segment. I don't know if you have any, well, obviously give us any Jazz or Grizzlies thoughts you have before you become the headline of the Stanley Cup playoff segment.
Yeah. Similar to what we've talked about with a couple of other series, I would back Memphis here in game three, you know, a young, excited team, happy to be in the playoffs, excited to get a win on home court. And then I would hammer the Jazz at a better series line down 1-2 potentially. And I don't hate your take of Memphis +1.5 for the series. I think they can keep it close and maybe win another one after they win Saturday. So yeah, I don't, but I agree. Morant's probably, I don't know if best, maybe more impactful, maybe the word, but yeah, you know, as good as Mike Conley is defensively and as good as Donovan Mitchell is offensively, like they don't match up super well against him individually. And, you know, Jonas can hold his own against Gobert.
Yeah, for sure. Mitchell's obviously the most talented player on the court right now. I was just alluding to upside, and I mean, John Morant is turning into a superstar right in front of our very eyes. Very impressed with the series. Anyways, let's go on to the Stanley Cup playoffs, where five of the first round series are wrapped up in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The winners so far are the Boston Bruins, the New York Islanders, Winnipeg Jets, Tampa Bay Lightning, who are the defending Stanley Cup champions, and the Colorado Avalanche. They all advance the next round. The series that still have to end are the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens. Toronto are up 3-1, the Hurricanes and Predators with Carolina up 3-2, and the Golden Knights and Minnesota Wild, which is tied 3-3 heading into Game 7. Vegas blew a 3-1 lead. Stop me if you've heard that before, Esten. Esten, where are you at with your Stanley Cup bets?
Yeah, I can go quickly through these three games. So Thursday, we have Maple Leafs, Montreal. Toronto's going to win. Montreal's going to keep it close. So Carey Price, absolutely the best player for his team. He's been outplayed by Jack Campbell so far. Jack Campbell in his first playoff series. I'm going to side with Price in game five to at least keep this game close. I just don't think Montreal can score enough to win a game. So, yeah, Montreal +1.5 -130 is my play there. Carolina at Nashville, absolutely all over Nashville at +115 on the money line. UC Saros has been unbelievable at home all regular season and in two playoff games at Bridgestone Arena thus far. Carolina, you know, lots of offense. Alex Nedeljkovic, unreal in net as well. Nashville, they play better at home. It's just how it happens. We see it all every single year in the NHL playoffs, except for last year when they all played in Toronto. But, you know, these are two of the best home crowds in the NHL playoffs, and that's been a key so far. Our road team hasn't won a game so far. Preds win tonight, force game seven, and the Carolina Hurricanes will win that. And then Friday night.
Just a quick question. Is there, like, added home ice advantage because of the obvious, or is it just a fluky situation, a trend that we're seeing with home ice, or is it just the obvious?
You know, I don't know the numbers, historically numbers, but it plays a role every year. And then I think just between these two teams in particular, Southern States teams, no one outside of those cities really expects it or sees it. But, you know, Carolina and Nashville, two of the best home crowds in all of hockey. And then even in this coming out of the pandemic, these guys ramping it up. Carolina announced they're going to have 15,000 for game seven. That's going to be huge. And I think they're going to win that. And, you know, as for UC Saros in particular playing better at home, that, yeah, there's no backing to that. That would be an anomaly, I guess, but it's a big enough sample now in this season that there's something to it. Gotcha. Anyway, on to Friday's game seven, Minnesota, Vegas. Getting Vegas at -165 on the money line there. I'm fine with that. They've been around for 4 years. They've gone to at least the Western Conference Final in two of those. And Cam Talbot, he lost the only game seven he's played in his career thus far, most of that with the Edmonton Oilers. So didn't get a whole lot of opportunity. Minnesota Wild team, they're young. I really think experience is going to matter in this game seven, and Vegas just has it coming out the yin-yang. So, yeah, Golden Knights, game seven, and on to round two, and hopefully they look better. I don't know what it is with this team in the playoffs. Anyway, on to round two, Boston Bruins, New York Islanders, the 3 and 4 seeds in the East Division, both of them upsetting the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins, respectively. Boston -200 on the series line. The Islanders +165. I'm not going to bet it. I'm going to wait and bet Boston individually in games, I guess, at this price. Boston's just the better team. Islanders with Ilya Sorokin, the rookie hero of round one. He won all four games. Semyon Varlamov came in for games two and three. He lost both of those. They went back to Sorokin. And, you know, we've kind of seen this all through the NHL playoffs, is a lot of rookie goalies have come in and done immediately very well. And I don't know why that is. Probably being in reduced capacity arenas helps that in these situations. And also, it's partially teams not getting much of a look at them. Like, we saw the Florida Panthers switch to third string rookie goaltender Spencer Knight against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he went out there and stole a game. And then obviously Tampa Bay, the better team, came back and won the series. But I don't know what that is, but I think that's not going to matter so much against Boston as it did against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh should have won that series, had every chance to win that series. Tristan Jarry was just horrendous. That was the worst playoff goaltending I have ever seen, at least in a decade. It just dreadful. So Boston with Tuukka Rask, the former Vezina Trophy winner, that's not going to be an issue for them. Brad Marchand at +1,600 for Conn Smythe is a bet I really like, MVP of the playoffs. I like Boston to win this series. That gets them on to round three. And, you know, then we're talking about teams who haven't seen each other all year. Don't really know what's going to happen. Plenty of playoff experience on this Boston team. And one of the best, albeit right now underrated, goaltenders still remaining is Tuukka Rask. So I like Boston to win the series. And then Brad Marchand at +1,600 for the Conn Smythe is a good bet right now.
All righty. And does that wrap up the NHL Stanley Cup playoff segment here, or do you have other takes or games you want to handicap?
No,
here?
we only have one series line right now, just kind of how this playoff structure is constructed. In these first two rounds are entirely in division. We have the division semifinals, and then we have the division final before teams can then cross over to play each other in what would be the conference final. It's going to be the Central against the West in round three and the East against the North. So, yeah, obviously the North division started late and is going to end, well, could end tonight with Toronto, Montreal, will end tonight with Toronto. And then, yeah, so once these other teams, once we have to wait for them to get through, then we'll get these other prices. So we're not going to know a whole lot about the second round until probably Friday night.
All right, good stuff, man. And this was a lean bet slipping podcast, right? You know, we just had a little bit of NHL playoffs to talk about, a lot of NBA playoffs to talk about. But let's get out of here. And let's before we get out of here, though, like we do every single podcast, we're going to go to the window with our best bet.
The Bet Slipping Podcast. Going to the window.
All righty. Going to the window. This is where we lock in our best bets from this previous episode and what we think is our winners. I'm going to attack the Nuggets series in two different ways. I'm going to attack the Nuggets at +1.5 series spread at -150. And I'm also going to take the Nuggets at +145 to win the series. The coaching matchup is pretty even. Nikola Jokic is the best player on the court. They're a deeper, bigger team. The Denver Nuggets are. He's averaging 36 points per game through the first two games, averaged 30 points per game in the regular season against the Portland Trailblazers. Him and Jusuf Nurkic, the starting big of Portland, have a rivalry stemming back to their days where they were both on the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets organization chose Jokic. So I just love the Nuggets' size, and I don't believe that the MVP, the runaway MVP, is going to be eliminated in the first round. It's pretty rare that happens. The most obvious examples are actually Dirk Nowitzki, who was his comp, losing to the We Believe Warriors back when he won the MVP. Geez, I want to say it's 2008. And then Russell Westbrook a couple of years ago, 2016, I believe, losing to the Houston Rockets in the first round. I don't think that's going to be the outcome of the Nuggets. So I'm going to hit them at two different prices again, +1.5 series spread at -150. And then I'm going to take them +145, still getting that fat plus number to win the series. What do you have on your bet slip? I got one more, but let's hear some of your picks.
Yeah, number one for me, once again, Tampa Bay Lightning +500 for the Stanley Cup. Their toughest test is going to come in round three when they're probably going to have to play the Colorado Avalanche, if not the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm going to back the Lightning. They have the better goaltender than both of those teams in Andrei Vasilevskiy, and Nikita Kucherov has come back these playoffs after missing the entire regular season. He was the best player on the ice against the Florida Panthers in round one, and just so deep below him that his return just turns Braden Point into the team's third best player and shuffles Steven Stamkos down to number one. The Lightning team's just too deep. They've been here before. They won it last year, and the best goaltender in these playoffs. So, yeah, Lightning won the Stanley Cup +500. Got it a couple of weeks ago at +700. Hasn't dropped near enough. Part of that is, again, that toughest matchup coming in round three just because of this playoff structure. But that's fine with me. I'll take them over the Avs.
All right. And my last bet here on my slip is I'm going to take Milwaukee Bucks to win game three and to win the series at -125. I won't completely rule out Miami stealing game four. I don't see it going past game five. I don't really see them preventing a sweep in all actuality, but just to play it safe and because I love this price. I think the Bucks are going to go up 3-0 and ultimately win the series at -125. So I don't see much of a chance of the Heat even getting back into the series, and this is the best price point, and I'm high on the Bucks right now. I think I'm assuming they're going to advance the next round, and I cannot wait for that Bucks-Nets series should everything play out as it is expected to. But That's what I got on my bet slip, those three bets. Nuggets plus 1.5 series spread, minus 150. Nuggets plus 145 to win the series. Bucks to win game 3 and to win the series over the Heat, minus 125. That wraps up my bet slip. Do you have anything else on your bet slip, Eston?
I'm good. Ride and die by the Lightning.
All righty, gamblers. Let's conquer these playoff bets. Be sure to check out SportsbookWire.com for all of our writers' breakdowns on these games that you're interested in betting. Before placing your wager, do us a favor and check out BetMGM Sportsbook. They have brick-and-mortar locations in like 10 different states, an awesome user-friendly mobile app. An even bigger favor, though, would be to subscribe, rate, and review to Bet Slip and Podcast. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. For Eston and Jeff, thank you for streaming the Bet Slip and Podcast. We out of here.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.